This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, June 1st, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Water rights reform advances. Ag uses just 15% of California water, and OSAF taking the lead on workforce legislation. Assembly approves boost to water board authority. Republicans are heavily opposing a bill to increase the state water board's enforcement authority for diversions. It would enable the board to order an immediate halt to diversions and fine violators up to $10,000 a day. Assembly member Rebecca Bauer-Kahan of Orinda described AB 460 as a simple clarifying measure, arguing, quote, all it does is say you've got to follow the law, and targets, quote, people who want to take water that doesn't belong to them. During floor debate this week, Assemblymember Vince Fong of Bakersfield warned the bill would, quote, completely overhaul California's water rights system and put an end to family farms. Fong argued the new powers would allow the board to stop legal diversions and deny water users the right to challenge the board in court. Fellow Republican Assemblymember Heath Flora of Ripon added that the board would have, quote, absolute authority to be the judge and jury. Minority leader James Gallagher worried that any interest group could draft a petition to halt a diversion. The Assembly passed the measure by a 3-vote margin, ordering it now to the Senate. Farm Bureau debunks critique of ag water use. Lawmakers are racing toward a Friday deadline to advance bills out of each house. While some water bills have already failed, key battles over water rights remain, and the California Farm Bureau wants to set some ground rules ahead of the fights. In a statement yesterday, Amrith Gunaskara, the Bureau's science and research director, pointed out that ag uses just 15% of the total water flowing through the state. For several years, industry critics have elevated one piece of that picture, arguing an ag accounts for 80% of the developed water, leaving out a large portion that goes uncaptured. Gunaskara argued that belief is simply not supported by actual data. The Farm Bureau will soon release a policy brief and a peer-reviewed academic paper on the findings. Debt deal clears hurdle, but are work rules still in play? The debt limit agreement between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has one more step to go before heading to the White House. The Republican-controlled House overwhelmingly passed the bipartisan Fiscal Responsibility Act yesterday, 314 to 117. But in a twist of irony, the bill wound up with more Democratic than Republican votes, though a majority of both parties voted for it. The Senate is expected to give final approval to the bill by this weekend. Now take note, ahead of the House vote, Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow said the Biden-McCarthy deal should put the issue of SNAP work requirements to rest. She said, quote, we've got a lot of other work to do in the Farm Bill, a lot of other important things that we need to be focused on, but this has been litigated and has been addressed by Congress, Stabenow said. But last night, House Ag Chairman Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania wasn't ruling out revising the new work requirement exemptions during the Farm Bill. The bill exempts veterans, homeless people, and young adults aging out of the foster care system. Thompson told AgriPulse the House vote, quote, I certainly respect the senator, and I think we've accomplished some decent things. But honestly, we may want to revisit those three categories that were defined out to make sure that they have access to the full range of benefits that the White House excluded from them. You can read more at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. learn more, and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision, Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Ossoff told to get to work on farm labor legislation. Georgia Democrat John Ossoff has been tabbed to take the Senate lead on the farm workforce legislation for his party by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Democratic Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois. Senator Ossoff, you're in charge of this, my friend, from this point to talk about the next step, Durbin said at a committee hearing yesterday. Durbin added his expectation for Ossoff and Senator Tom Phillis of North Carolina to meet with Colorado Democrat Michael Bennett, who led an effort last year to get workforce legislation through the U.S. Senate. Durbin said he wanted the three, quote, to talk about a practical step to move towards some bipartisan hearing or markup in this committee so we can get this issue moving. We have got to get off dead center and do something, and I think we're the only committee that can on the Senate side. And I'm delivering to you for inspiration and leadership. I know you'll deliver, he told the first-term senator. The chances of getting a bill through Congress are slim, but Ossoff and Tillis have already focused on labor issues by introducing a bill to freeze the adverse effect wage rate at 2022 levels and asking for Durbin to hold the hearing. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. USDA lowers ag trade forecast for fiscal year 23. Department of Agriculture cut its forecast yesterday for the value of U.S. ag exports in the fiscal year 2023 to $181 billion. That's a $3.5 billion reduction from the agency's February prediction of $184.5 billion. The quarterly outlook for U.S. agriculture trade released by the USDA's Economic Research Service and Foreign Agriculture Service also shows lower imports than expected for FY23, but it does predict a higher than expected trade deficit of $17 billion. Just 3 months ago, the USDA was expecting negative trade balance of a $14.5 billion, the first since FY2020, when the U.S. closed out the year with a $3.7 billion deficit. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. AAFCO opposes federalized pet food regulatory system. The Association of American Feed Control Officials, an independent organization guiding state and federal feed regulators, is opposing a proposal from the Pet Food Institute to transfer pet food regulation to the federal level, saying it would, quote, offer pet manufacturers a loophole to avoid state inspections, sampling, and the oversight of marketing claims. PFI wants a new center at FDA dedicated to dog and cat food approvals to avoid the patchwork of state regulations. Currently, state regulators and industry stakeholders work with AAFCO to create an approved list of ingredient definitions, label standards, and laboratory standards. But in a statement issued yesterday, AAFCO Executive Director Austin Farrell says a federal system, quote, will significantly decrease the number of qualified inspectors in the marketplace and reduce the regulatory oversight of pet food and pet food ingredients. In addition, prohibiting state-led inspections at manufacturing facilities across the country would eliminate the routine collection of tens of thousands of samples for potential contaminants or adulterants, which may dangerously impact animal health and reduce consumer confidence in the marketplace, he said. Well, here's today's He Said It. We are working hard to educate our policymakers to bring understanding to California's critical agricultural food production. That California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson on the organization's investment in science and research arm. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, June 1st, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. for the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.